Our lesson today is called The Passion for God's Word, and I thought I was going to be great, but I have an issue from a surgery that I had, and it flares up, and of course it chose today to do that, so please bear with me, and I think, I hope I can make it through and all, but please bear with me, and it says in the back, if you can't hear me, just sort of raise your hand, and I'll do my best to raise my voice a little bit. Thank you. I might move that to them. Thank you. All right. I'm going to put it here. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. And doesn't that just make you want to break out into song like Karen did? It's a song we most of us know from our childhood, or you have children or grandchildren maybe that sing it. I love the Bible, Karen. I really need you to listen. I love the Bible. God's Word is my constant companion in this journey of life. His story is a story of love. He prepares me, encourages me, rebukes me, teaches me, gives me hope, joy, and peace. He puts salve on my wounds and scars, and He gives me comfort. There are so many things we could talk about when we talk about God's Word. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm pretty old-fashioned. I love my Bible. This is it right here. I'll show it to you. You probably have a Bible at home similar to this. I love to hold it and open it and turn the pages and just feel the pages and see places that I have highlighted and places that I've underlined and made notes. My husband, I almost brought his Bible today. My husband, his Bible has more color in it than not, and it's from all of the highlights and notes that he's put in it over the years, and he calls it sharpening his sword. And I truly believe that when we mark up our Bible, that's what we're doing. We're preparing ourselves so that we can easily find those words from God when we need them, right? And that's what my husband loves to do, and also, I wanted to share that with you. I do it too, but his is way more marked up than mine. I also love technology. I have the Bible on my phone and my iPad, and I use that often. That's quick. You know, I can be out somewhere and think of something and look it up quickly on the Bible. I also love the Bible on my phone because I have all the versions right there. So sometimes, you know, I'm not so smart, and I'll read something and go, what did that really mean? And I can just flip over to another version and really get a feel for, you know, what God is saying to me that way. The only thing about my iPad and my phone are this. Technology is great, but technology for me is distracting. So I can be on my iPad reading my Bible, and all of a sudden somebody bing, and I have a text, and so I'm over here reading my text instead of focusing on God's Word. So for me, when I really want to listen to God, and I know I need to do that every day, I open up my Bible. It doesn't ding on me, and I can really, I'm a better listener when I do that. But there's nothing wrong with those iPads and phones. Our topic today is about renewing a passion for God's Word, and that goes along with what Brittany talked about earlier. Let's ask ourselves a few questions today to get us thinking. Why do you open your Bible? Now, I'm not going to make you answer. Just think to yourself, why do you open your Bible? To look for answers, maybe to study for a lesson. In the past, I've opened my Bible sometimes out of an obligation. Many times to study for something like today. Of course, I opened it a lot to study for today. Sometimes people open it out of fear. But let me tell you why I open it now. I open my Bible because it feels like coming home. My Bible is precious to me because those words in there speak to me. And I open it because it's a breath of fresh air. You know, we live in a world where we do hear a lot of drama all around us all the time, don't we? Open up your Facebook, open up even your texts and your emails sometimes are just full of that. The TV, the world we're living in, all those things just are feeding us, feeding us, feeding us. And, you know, when I open up the Bible, all that goes away, and it's just me and God. And so that's why I open my Bible. Also, we need to know the real reason we need to open our Bibles, and I hope this will encourage you, and that is because there's good news in it. The good news of Jesus is the reason we open our Bible. Jesus is the living Word. He's revealed in those pages in the Scripture. The Bible is for you and me. Nobody's left out with the Bible. We can't say, oh, it's only for these people. It's only for these people. It's for all of us. It's for everybody. It's a love story about God and a relationship that He has planned for us with Him. It's about His steadfast love for His people, His sovereign plan. It's all about grace. That is big. And the glory of Him. The cool thing I've learned about the Bible is wherever I am in this journey, if I'm in a valley in a very tough time, if I'm up on a mountaintop and having the best time with my friends, wherever I am, if I were to take my Bible and open it up, guess what? He speaks to me right where I am. Isn't that cool? And sometimes I read a scripture and I'm in the valley and it means one thing. And then later on my journey, you know, I've marked it now, I've highlighted it, and I open it back up later, and what has happened? He's speaking to me again, maybe even deeper, and allowing me to go deeper in His Word. God is awesome, isn't He? And the only way for us to really know that awesomeness is to open the Bible. That's why I open my Bible. Now I want us to think about what we're passionate about. Because that's what we're talking about today, being passionate about God's Word. I know I have some friends in here who are passionate about Alabama football. Okay, some other friends are probably passionate about Auburn football, so you figured out which team I'm for. But, and I love a great football game. Okay, I love it. But I'm going to tell you what I'm really passionate about. I'm passionate about, you're going to laugh, coffee. But what I'm really passionate about is our coffee dates. I just love it. Kathy Kendall, who goes to church here, and I got together a few months back for a coffee date. Miss Newbill over here and I have had several. Coffee dates are precious to me because they're warm and they're cozy. The coffee's warm, but really it's the conversation. It's the face-to-face, one-on-one time that we don't get much of in this world, right? So when I can grab onto you and we can drink a cup of coffee together and we can share our thoughts and feelings and everything, you know, that I'm pretty passionate about that. I love that. I just think that is the best. I don't get to do it very often. Don't get out of the house very much. But when I can do it, it just really just recharges me. And to me, that's sort of what a passion is. It's something that keeps us excited and recharges us. As much as I like a good coffee date with a friend, however, that's made even more special, and especially in the past few years, when I have a special time with God. And I like to drink my coffee when I'm talking to God and when I'm listening to Him. I can find a million reasons every day to be busy. But there's a million and one reasons why my day and my life will be more joyful and complete when I start it with my morning coffee date with my Lord. For me, this relationship offers passion and purpose for each day. I'm passionate about pursuing a lifetime relationship with Him and it continuing on into heaven. Because, y'all, this is a short amount of time. Heaven's forever. So this is short. We're preparing for that, right? And then also, my journey is going to go nowhere without Him. It's really not. All right. In case you come away today with the perception that I've really got it all together because of saying, why do we open our Bibles and what are we passionate about, I want you to back up a little bit and let's ask ourselves another question. We said, why do we open our Bible? But what keeps you from opening your Bible? Because I'm going to be honest here, I've purposefully not opened mine at times in my life. Not because I was a mean person, I don't think, but because I was busy. And we're going to talk more about that. Maybe your heart has been wounded, and those scriptures in there remind you of what you've lost or you're hurt, and you just can't read it. I have a dear friend that happened to, and we happened to be in a ladies' Bible study together. This was years ago. And we went to the Bible study, and she could not read. Somebody said, okay, will you read this passage for us today? And she was going through a hard time. Not everybody in the room knew that. She couldn't. She just teared up. We've probably all been there at some point in time. And guess what? The person next to her started reading. And then the person next to her started reading. And we all took turns reading to her. She was still being fed by God's Word. And even years later, she said that was one of the most joyful moments she'd ever had in her life. She was tough, valid, and she was still being fed. She could not feed herself that day, though. And sometimes maybe you've been there. Also, sometimes we don't open our Bible because we just don't see the importance. We go to church, we listen to the preacher, you know, we turn on an occasional show here and there and listen to things. We basically know the stories. We went to Sunday school as a child. We know about David and Daniel and Joseph and all those good people. So we know we're basically on the right track. Why do we need to go deeper? So sometimes we just don't open it because we don't really think we need to. Maybe you just don't feel equipped. This Bible is a big book with a lot of words, and a lot of them are big words. And so sometimes, you know, we think, this is too much for me. I can't really. Where do I start? And we're going to talk a little bit about that here in a few minutes. But the scariest of all to me, and she covered it a little bit, is the notion that many in the world right now are speaking. I've heard recently, and it just broke my heart, it was on Facebook, and some of my friends were liking it. And I was like, what? It said the Bible is out of date. Okay, the Bible is never out of date. If you ever think it's out of date, call me. We will talk. The Bible is not out of date. I've also heard that parts of it aren't really inspired. The parts Jesus said are, the parts that he didn't say aren't. And y'all, if you think that's not going on, it is. In our colleges, it's going on everywhere. You know, I hear it in lots of little directions. Now, I've talked to one of my sons in particular, who's in college, came across that somewhat. And we had some great conversations about it. And his faith was made more strong after it. But we really had to talk because he was listening to everybody. And we got to listen to what the Bible says, right? Okay. So that's a little bit scary to me. But this tendency to let it stay closed and simply go with what feels right in your heart is what many people are doing. But this is an absolute lie from Satan. Don't be drawn in. And if you hear somebody that is, you know, this is a time when you want to get involved in their lives. Trusting your heart is a dangerous mindset. All of these are reasons that people use to keep their Bible closed. But I'm going to share with you more where I'm coming from. The times in my life that I've kept my Bible closed, it wasn't because I didn't really want to. I mean, I grew up as a child. I went to Sunday school. I remember on Saturdays my parents having me study. I had my little workbook. And we had to study it and prepare our lesson for the next day, you know, and we'd go to church and learn all about God. I know that Bible is an important thing. But in my own life, my situation usually was that of urgency. And what was more urgent at the moment? I would say to myself, yeah, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to have my quiet time. But then I was a mother, and I was a wife, and I was working. And people called me, and they needed a casserole for the church. And we had to go to church. You know, there's all these things that are going on in our lives. And so I would push back a little bit my Bible study time, my one-on-one time, thinking God will understand, you know, he sees what's going on in my life. And it would all of a sudden get pushed all the way back, and then I'd have to think, I'll try again tomorrow. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you haven't. Maybe it's just me. But I have learned over time that for my days to go good, I can't push it back. I need to start with it. And so with each passing stage in my journey of life, God has impressed the power of his words deep into my heart. And here I stand today treasuring those words and the precious meaning of hope in a difficult world that we live in. And I have faced many trials in my life, like many of you, and here I am. But this is the one thing that I have learned. Doesn't matter what you're going through in life, God is faithful. He is with you all the time. And to know that faithfulness, we've got to listen to him. Just like my husband and I, we have to sit down and talk every day. we need time together. I need to listen to him, and I need to talk to him. And that is why we've been married 32 years, because we've learned to listen and to talk. And some other reasons, but that's one of the main reasons. We've learned to communicate. And if you want your relationship to be more passionate and to grow with God, you've got to learn to listen to him and to talk to him every single day. And I know that everybody in here does that. But today what I want to do is share three quick verses with you and talk to you, because those verses to me declare the goodness of God, and they'll hopefully help you renew your passion for studying his words. And the first one, if you know me very well at all, you know my very favorite verse in the Bible, and it will never change, I know it won't. It's Psalm 46:10, and it teaches us that we need to be still. Be still and know that I am God. And this verse is very near to my heart. I find it very hard to be still. I'm a busy kind of person. I like to be up doing. And God has slowed me down many times in my life, enough for this verse to take up residence in my heart and touch my busyness. Be still. Sometimes I almost can hear him saying it, be still, you know, like we tell our children when they're little, be still. That's how I feel, like a child sometimes. And that includes my mind. Because even when God has stilled my body, my mind can get to wandering and busy and technology and looking at that Facebook or looking at whatever. You know, I have that tendency. And so I have to learn to quiet my busy thoughts long enough to listen to his thoughts. And to make his ways my ways requires me listening. And then not just listening to his words and then putting it away, but listening and meditating on his words. Because listen to the rest of the verse. Be still and know that I am God. That requires us listening to him and then thinking about it. You know, thinking about for the rest of the day, how does this change me? What does this mean to me? How does this apply to me? This verse is very important to me. The more we are still, the better his words will take up residence in our heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what Psalm 119 tells us. Learning his words and allowing them to take up residence in our hearts will change your life. And I know there's people in here who would agree with me. One of my favorite role models in life is Corrie Ten Boom. She grew up in a concentration camp. She was a little girl, and her parents helped hide the people from the Nazis. And she saw a lot of her family and a lot of friends lose their lives. But she survived. And as she became an adult, she was asked many times, how did you make it? How did you make it? In a concentration camp, think about what all was going on. How did you make it? And she replied, what I had hidden in my heart from God's words cannot be taken away from me. They helped sustain her during that difficult time. Now, I've not lived through a sentence in prison like she did, but I have been in difficult emergency situations. And God's words have poured over me like a warm blanket. I mean, we could really talk, girls, over coffee. I have seen God's words, seen them pour over me because he's that faithful. But you know what? He's that faithful, but he needs us to be still long enough to see it. And so to me, that's why this scripture is so powerful. Ever been there where you're going through a day and things are going on, and then all of a sudden a verse pops into your mind? Have you ever had that happen? Yeah. And it always seems to meet your needs right then. See, to me, that's the faithfulness of God. He's right there with us, and he's reminding us, and he's saying, hey, I have a scripture for that. You know, so that's important. Let's look at another verse. Verse 2 today is going to remind us to take the delight. We've got to be still, but we're not going to just be still and read a few words and close our Bible. We want to take delight in God's word. So let's read Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. And this is also cool. Have you ever been reading the Bible and you read something and then later you read almost those same words again? Okay, that must be really important. He must really want us to know what those verses mean, right? So if we flip over to Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, listen to what it says. It just backs up what we just read. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree. Okay, let's picture it. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Girls, we've all lived through droughts in our life, haven't we? Haven't you all been through some tough times probably in here? But did you hear what he said? When we are planted in him, we don't have to fear. What? We don't have to be anxious. Because guess what? Even in the tough times of this journey of life, God is there with us. Again, I cannot say it enough. He is faithful. And the verses, both of them say, and we delight in God's words. The more I soak up his words, the more my roots grow and keep me from being shaken when tough times come. I've had some tough times that have shook me pretty bad, and I've had some tough times that really didn't shake me. And I've really tried to assess the reasons. And I think I was more rooted in those times, and it allowed me to just let him pour his blessings on me, and I knew I could trust him no matter what was going to happen in those times. Picture that beautiful tree. Your roots are deep. They're soaking up the water, beautiful leaves and fruit, maybe providing shade for visitors that pass along the way. And can't you see that, ladies? Can't you see that beautiful tree? You are that beautiful tree when you are soaking up God's word. I'm standing here today because of God's word is planted in my life. God's words have taken up root in me and have even produced fruit, not because of anything I have done, but because I have been open to listening to God and what he wants me to do. God is faithful. Can't say it enough. We can find him right in the pages of this book, in our Bible, and everything we need to keep going. When my attention is turned to him, even in drought, I can be joyful. It may be hard. You may have to work really hard, but there can be joy even in a difficult time and delight. Especially when we realize this world is not our home. We're passing through, and he offers us an eternal hope. The Israelites, let's think about them for a minute. They were in the desert wandering for 40 years. You can read more about this in the book of Exodus. I'm not going to read it to you today. But while God allowed them to wander, because they really needed to, they needed a wake-up call, while he allowed that wandering to happen, he also provided for their needs during that time. And every morning there was manna for them to pick up. Now he gave them directions. He said, pick up just enough for today. So something I learned from that is he was providing for them. He was giving them food to eat, just like God is doing for us. He's providing us scriptures every day. He's giving us what we need every day. But I don't want you to walk away today and think, oh, I'm not a Bible scholar. I can't, you know, where am I supposed to begin? How am I supposed to read all of this and understand everything that God has in his word? Remember, he wanted them to get just enough for the day. Instead, that's what we need to do with God's word. Read just enough for the day. Now, I'm just going to share with you a little bit about how I do that. Okay, I am not a Bible scholar. I have gone through many kinds of Bible studies, and I'm sure if we went around today, we all have some good ones we could share. And I actually have a page I'm going to give you with some ideas on it at the end of the lesson today. But I just want to share with you one thing that I do. I, for instance, studied the book of Psalm the moment my husband had a stroke a few years ago. So the day after his stroke, I knew I needed Psalms. And so Psalm 1, I read it. It's all about the tree planted letting the roots get watered, and I knew, you know, God is speaking to me today. And every day from there on out, I read the next one and the next one. And I read a psalm every day during that time until I finished the book of Psalms. Guess what? I've done it 2 more times since then. So, because I really need it. And I don't always understand everything I read the first time, I think. So I have to keep on getting just enough for the day. But even as I was reading some of these passages, say chapter 1, I would read through it. Well, if I closed my Bible and went about my day, I would usually just sort of forget about what I read. So I learned that I needed to key in on something that was meaningful for me. So I would choose one verse. And sometimes it's hard to just do one verse, but I would choose one verse. Say it over and over again. In your mind, out loud, write it on a card. I have a friend, she writes them on note cards. I don't always do that. I write them in a notebook. She hangs hers around her house. I'm a very visual person. I think that would work for me. I just don't always do that. But put it enough into your mind that you can meditate on it, which is what God wants us to do all day. So what's happening the rest of the day, Manna? It's being still fed, and we're getting just enough for the day. And so for me, that has changed my Bible study. Because I don't feel like I have to understand the whole passage that day. But I can take this one scripture that seems to jump out at me, and I can listen, you know, to it and try to make it meaningful in my life for that day, and it really has changed my life. I hope you understand where I'm coming from on that. So, how much time do we have? Great. Okay, good. I have one more scripture I want to share with you. And so, first of all, we said we need to be still. We need to find the light in His words. And then the last thing I want us to really feel today and think about is that we need to trust in His faithful love. And we're going to listen to Psalm 143, verse 8. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Okay. To me, that verse says, God offers direction, and I need direction. Because otherwise, I'm going to do what's urgent. That's what's going to happen. And His little stuff that's going to get pushed to the back. Because I'm going to feel like other things are urgent, whatever the need is at the moment. I'm also a little ADD. And we live in a very ADD world. So I look forward to any moment that I can break away from that busyness and really just focus on Him. Now, this verse says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. There's scriptures in the Bible that talk about at nighttime we lay in our bed and think of God's love. So I don't think He's saying in this verse, you can only learn about me in the morning. You know, I think we all have a different place in life. And when I had twin babies at home, I remember midnight having Bible study. You know, that's what worked for me during that time. They woke up hitting the ground running in the morning. They needed me all day. But when they finally crashed and for sleep, I could have my Bible study. So I think there's good times to do it. But I'm just going to say, I really do think if you sing in the best times, the morning. Because what does it do? It just starts your day off on the right track. It's just enough. Right? It just starts you right then being fed by God, and it changes your whole path for the day. We have 1,440 minutes every day. Can we find at least 10 of those each day to listen to God for direction? And I bet you, if you start off with 10, all of a sudden it'll be 30. And some days it may be an hour. You know, some days your time will just fall more and more and more into listening to Him. At different stages of life, I have found those minutes at various times of the day. But for me now, I'm a full-time caregiver for my husband. So my early mornings work great. And I make my coffee. I have my coffee date. And that time is much easier for me. But you have to find what works for you. Our verse has us asking God to show us the way to go in here. Show me the way to go, for to you I entrust my life. So, coming to Him each morning for our daily manna, It's going to fill us up. It's going to give us direction. It's also going to show us what to do for that day. And wouldn't it be neat if instead of just making our to-do list for the day, we started at the top with God, and we're going to listen to God, but then we're also going to see where God directs us, and He will direct us. Let me give you an example of that. Recently, I knew from studying a scripture that I was reading that I needed to look for some new areas to be a blessing. I'm really at home most of the time now. I'm not out. So I don't really hear a lot of the needs of people, even at our church sometimes. After the fact, I go, I didn't even know that was going on. So I knew I've got to dig a little deeper to find ways to let God be a blessing through me. So what I did was I prayed about it. I had read a scripture that said I needed to do it. I prayed to God. I said, please open some doors today. It was very specific, today. And then off I went. It was right before Christmas, and I went to Target first and then Publix. Okay. So I had this little list of things to do. So I headed out. I was by myself, which is rare. And so, of course, right on time, God was faithful. He opened the door at Target. He opened the door at Publix to speak on his behalf and let him bless two different people who were in need. One of them with a physical need. The other one obviously needed some encouragement. Now, I'm not saying that to say, look what I did. I'm saying that to say, God is faithful. Look what he did. He allowed me to hear a father and daughter having a conversation in Target and gave me the immediate means of how to help them. And it was a life-changing moment for all of us. And I walked out of Target crying. And he did it again at Publix in a very different way. And you know what that was telling me that day? It was telling me that when I listen to him, he's going to give me direction. He's going to be my purpose more for the day. And my faith that day grew and grew. I mean, I already had faith in it. But that day, I was like, okay, what are we going to do tomorrow, God? You know, I felt like, wow, this is pretty awesome, you know? And he can do that for you. And I know he does. You know, I'm the one up here speaking, but all of y'all have stories you could share, I'm sure. But you know what? There have been times in my life when I didn't include God in my plans. And when I do, my days are so much better. So what will you choose today? To open your Bible or to keep it closed? I don't know, I want to cry. May I suggest this closing thought to you? The secret to a happy life is giving God the first part of your day, the first priority of every decision, and the first place in your heart. Then you will have true happiness and delight in every day. It's pretty simple, but yet you've got to do it. You just got to do it. So today, we have a few minutes. I'm not going to go over this because I know you can read, but this has really nothing on it that I just shared with you. But this is some ideas and things I have read over time, things, some of my own thoughts. This shares with us sort of how I do my quiet time, the time, the place, and the plan. It gives you some ideas. Maybe you have a good plan already, but maybe this is something you could share with a friend, or maybe you want to change it up a little bit. And so also on here at the bottom are some ideas of some Bible studies that I have done. I like to stick straight with God's words. There's some good Bible studies on the Internet that I love. If you want one of those, come up here and I'll share with you. There's several really good ones. But you just can't go wrong by opening up God's Word. I mean, you know, some of it's harder to bite and listen to than others, but start with Psalms. And also, let me share this cool idea with you. And somebody shared this with me years ago, and I did it, and it was really neat. Okay, Proverbs has 31 chapters in it. March is coming up, 31 days, a chapter a day. That's a cool concept, right? So a chapter a day, if you just don't even know where to start, Proverbs is great. For practical living, that's a very good one. But I'm just telling you, if you're going through any kind of problem in your life, decisions to be made, just feeling blah, open up Psalms, because it will change your life. So I'm going to share these. I'll pass these around. And please take one home. Thank you so much for being here today. And I hope we can all be an encouragement.